The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. 7 o'clock here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, along with Dell, for the next 2.5 hours. Raheel joins us at 9. What'd you do last night? Well, you got a little cat. Did you, I don't know if we should talk about it on the air, because does your wife know that you scored yesterday at Prime?
No.
She doesn't. But is she listening?
I don't think yet. We got about 10 minutes.
We got about 10 minutes?
We got
good.
A segment, yeah.
All right.
We got a big, so we're going to have a big list, a viewing party.
Yeah.
Not this Friday, but next Friday.
For the tournament.
Day two of the tournament. We're going to be at Prime Social, which is the poker place. It's also got, I mean, you know, if you're into backgammon, they got a pool table there. It's really nice. John's been there. It's a really nice setup.
They did a really nice job.
It's a really, really nice job. It's a great space anyway.
Are they going to open up? Because the first few weeks, the bar was open and they couldn't sell?
No, it's all.
Now they can sell because they got the license?
Yeah.
Couldn't sell it, so they had to give it away? And that was perfect.
Yeah. No, I think it's being sold now.
I think
now.
They should do that every weekend.
But so they're also going to have what's called a splash pot or something, where if a lower seed, I'll have details for it, but if a lower seed beats a higher seed while you're there, it's some kind of jackpot that people can win.
Oh, nice.
Like it's a, yeah. Like while you're there, like, oh, I think somebody is going to win it, or maybe everyone who's there will split it. I don't know. I'll find out. But because they were asking, how many lower seeds do you think can win? And I said, well, in the course of one broadcast day, which would be 7A to 7P, there's going to be how many games? The 12 games, maybe?
On 8, 10, 6. Well, there will be 4 early. No, there will be probably 8. 8 done by 7 o'clock.
There's 16.
There's 16 games. Yeah, the night will have 4 and 4 too.
They'll have that many?
Yeah, more than likely. Yeah, there won't be. There will be.
Does
about
that seem right, Dell?
Eight. There will be about eight done.
We'll only have 8 games from 7-8. Oh well, I mean 11. Yeah,
there'll
to
be four
7.
At the 11 o'clock, and there will be 4 at about 3 o'clock.
It always seemed like there were more that were staggered.
No, they can't have more than 4 games at once.
Well, now that they have everything,
everything. Because
remember how it used to be?
And oh, by the way, did you hear they're going to have like a red zone network? Did you hear this? The tourney's going to have a red zone network.
Wow,
where
that,
you just go, time. Oh, look what's happening here. The final 2 minutes. Look what's happening over
they
here.
They should have a channel like when it used to be DirecTV. It was one of the reasons that I loved having DirecTV is I had the package was only on DirecTV.
Yeah.
And I had, you know, the NFL Sunday Ticket. But one of the things that I will watch on NFL Sunday Ticket is 4 across the top, 4 across the bottom. I have 8 games on NFL at noon. In basketball, it would make perfect sense to have that same thing, but with four squares.
Four games,
so are they going to have that, or are they just going to switch from game to game?
They're
going to
switch from game to game whenever it gets, you know, whenever it gets, and this one's in a timeout. Let's go back to this game, and it's going to be just like an NFL red zone thing, which is awesome. Great idea. So that's going to be a dedicated channel. But as far, yeah, so we're going to watch it at Prime. You can watch the games while you're playing. We're going to have a big tournament. Food and drink and everything else, all at Prime Social.
Yeah, and we will have a tournament as soon as we get off the air.
Yep.
So you can watch, like I said, there's TV surrounding the tables. You won't miss anything.
Right.
And you can play in a tournament. And if you knock out me, John, or Rafer Alston, because Skip is going to be there as well, you're going to get cash.
Yeah.
We'll have bounties on our heads, which is going to make it really uncomfortable. Because everybody, oh, man, can I just play a hand?
Right.
Can I just get a hand in here? Why do I got to go all in? Because you're trying to get this.
Right, because you're trying to win the bounty.
Yeah.
But that'll be good. Come on. Come on. All right, let's go. Come on.
Dell, you play any? I'm not letting you work.
He doesn't know how to play poker. He doesn't do
Dell's watched poker on TV before.
No, he's never watched poker in his life.
When you're not
watching poker.
When you're not watching the Rockets extend winning streaks, are you watching World Poker Tour or the World Series of Poker?
No, when I'm not watching the Rockets beat down the Bucks, I'm probably watching Anthony, the Pistons versus the Raptors, not poker.
Yeah, see, I love watching poker on TV. I think it's all. Anytime there's poker on, I usually pick it over most anything.
The other day said it was. Somebody said it was just terrible on TV to watch, and I was like, I
love it.
I disagree. Of course, if you're not a player,
yeah,
And you're not putting yourself in those positions?
You see stuff and see how you would do it differently. Of course, you can see all the cards on the table.
I had a situation where I was all in yesterday. This guy put me all in, and I'm like, man, I have 17 outs. I've got a flush draw, and I've got two cards for a straight. And so I went and I got it, and then once I had to beat Skip. But Rafer's a good dude. It was fun. It was fun playing with him. We talked about – I brought up how about this? I put the LeBron James, because it was something I brought up during the combine with Maurice Jones-Drew and Bucky Brooks, who both played in the league and are both basketball fans. I said, could LeBron James, same thing we talked about yesterday, could LeBron James make the transition to the NFL right now at the age of 33 and become a Pro Bowler within 2 years? I wrote an article about it in Sports Map, and I looked at why this could happen potentially, why I think it could. I got people, I mean, it got salty. I put the link out on Twitter and I asked the question, and I even said in the tweet, today I looked at whether or not LeBron James, even at age 33, could go into the NFL and become a Pro Bowler. Salt City. No one read the actual article and read my arguments. It just became yes versus no, like a civil war of yes versus no. There was no nuance to it. James Palmer, who used to work here at Comcast Houston, who works for the NFL Network now, he said he asked this question to like six executives. I think it was last year at the Combine. And he said the answers he got were half of the guys said absolutely no question he could. And the other half was there is no chance in hell he could.
Really?
Yeah, it was that polarizing.
Well, but it's not like it's foreign to him. He played in high school.
I know. He played in high school. And then when I brought that up, like, that's like 25 years. Yeah. He's not 25 years. Slow down. Number one, he's not that old. And then number two, one guy who just got pulverized because I retweeted what he said and made a comment. He said, LeBron's barely, he's just hanging on in the NBA right now. He's barely even able to do anything. What? Like, he'll be falling off soon. How is he going to play in the NFL? I said, he's just hanging
barely
on.
Barely hanging on. What's he, fifth in the league in scoring?
I mean, just barely. So.
I mean, he's an old man. What is he, 33?
Yeah, he's 33.
That's an old man.
And this is the other thing. He crumbles. You know, he'll crumble and cry. Like, he's selling calls. The NBA does. You think he'll do that? He's lost weight to get to 250 something. He's typically used to walk around at almost 270, and it's not a fat.
He's
a lot of lean muscle mass. So I truly believe that if you just split him out, he's not going to be doing a bunch of blocking. I got news for people. You just go ahead and take a look at Jimmy Graham or Antonio Gates sometime and just see how much blocking they do. It is not going to be – there's not a lot of blocking
so
going
do you
on.
Want – I mean, Jimmy Graham is out there and everybody's bantering it around, bandying it.
I don't want
Jimmy Graham here?
No, I mean, it's not that I don't. I mean
–
he's fine. He's fine. He's just not going to block, so it limits what you do.
What's Jimmy Graham going to – what's he going to get?
Probably too much.
But what is he – I mean, obviously he was huge in New Orleans, but there's a lot of luster off that star since Seattle.
He was better at Seattle. He made a little comeback. I don't know about – let me check if he did this year. I know last year he was a lot better than people expected because he came back from an injury.
Well, he was
– like people thought he was not going to do anything the year before. The year before, Jimmy Graham played – he had played all the games. Last year he had 65 catches, 6 touchdowns. This year he had 10 touchdowns.
Yeah.
520
yards. He's good in the red zone. There's no question about that.
Yeah, 57 catches, 520 yards, 10 touchdowns. I mean, you know, if the price were right, I would consider it, I guess.
67, 520. Of course, they didn't have an offensive line.
Jimmy Graham's had 4 seasons with double-digit touchdowns. Andre had none ever.
But look at Andre's quarterback versus his quarterbacks. Drew Brees and Russell Wilson.
That's true, but he had a ton of catches. Like, Andre had a ton of catches.
Yeah, but in the red zone, it tightens up. With a bad quarterback, you don't get it to guys.
Plus, that offense is made for intermediate throws, not really made for short throws. And then you had Matt Schaub, who's not really a fitted in tight windows quarterback.
And you had Arian Foster scoring touchdowns.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that went into it. I wouldn't go out of my way
Not if it's going to be too expensive, but I wouldn't mind having Jimmy Graham on the team.
No, but he's 31. You know that? I mean,
that's not old.
That's not, by NFL standards, it's a little old.
Not for tight end, though.
You don't usually get there by trying to fill up a team full of, like, 31-year-olds.
No, but you guess what? You got a need there. I mean, this is maybe...
Well, but you got need at the Y tight end. Steven Anderson is the split tight end. Y is the blocker. That ain't Jimmy Graham
either.
It's not Steven.
Would you rather... It's, Steven Anderson. Well, I don't know. It depends on what it costs. Yeah, aren't you done?
See, you let me just tell you, in this draft, because I know this draft pretty well, Dalton Schultz, Durham Smythe from Dalton Schultz from Stanford, Durham Smythe from Notre Dame.
Schultz's a big kid, too.
He's big, and he is a good blocker. Yeah. So is Durham Smythe. Izzo from Florida State's a pretty good blocker. Like, you got three tight ends right there who will get after you as blockers that will you'll probably be able to get in third round and beyond. I just think you just go draft your next Fedorowicz and if you like Steven Anderson.
So many things you need.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, but you can get a young tight end that you can grow with and keep him. That's a pretty low-dollar player that will be a starter for you for a while. Well, you got to figure it out.
But if you look at the Texans' needs, it goes offensive line, defensive back,
when
tight
you say
end.
Offensive line, you're talking at least two positions.
At least two. Yeah. And then you're talking maybe a couple corners. And you could use a couple, a good couple.
I was asking about Richard Sherman.
And then you need tight end is third.
I was asking about Richard Sherman. What should the Texans? First of all.
Wait a minute. Didn't Jerome Solomon tell you that that's not going to happen? That if there's someone that's exactly the opposite of what Jerome Solomon wrote about the other day, it's Richard Sherman. That's not a conforming dude.
I will tell you this. Richard Sherman is a guy who is, and we've seen this from when he was yelling and screaming at, who was it, like 4 years ago? Don't you ever, God, who was that? Remember when he was screaming on TV? It's somebody, Michael Crabtree, wasn't it? Was it Crab? Who was it that he was?
That was Aqib Talib and Crab.
Who was it that he was yelling and screaming about that he can't do anything on him? Remember that? It was like.
It wasn't Odell. What? No. Was it Odell?
No, I don't think it was Odell. I'll try to remember. I'll see if Twitter remembers.
Odell and Josh Norman had their deal, but did Richard Sherman have something with him, too?
Oh, yeah. Richard Sherman was on TV.
Yeah, well, who was it, Dale? Do you remember?
Who was Richard Sherman yelling about after the game? There was an announcer. It was
you mad, bro? It was Tom Brady.
No, it wasn't that. It wasn't that one. No, it was in, like, the NFC Championship game, I think, because I was
Michael Crabtree?
Was it Crabtree?
When it Crab was San Francisco? I think it was
Crabtree hasn't been around the...
Well, he's in San Francisco, yeah.
Well, that was a while ago. I thought you meant last year.
No, that's like 4 years. I said 4 years ago.
I saw Marin Andrews, and he was taking shots at Crabtree.
Okay. Yeah, it was Crab. Crab's always in the middle of something. Okay. So he was yelling and screaming. He's been a little bit, you know, his Beats commercial celebrates how much he's always going to be in your ear and all that stuff. So, yeah, it was Crab. And so the thing after, when he knocked the ball away on the last play in the end zone.
Oh.
Crab is going to be.
I thought you meant last year. All right.
No, Richard Sherman is going to be. He's one of those guys, when things are going good, you tolerate him. Yeah, but when things aren't going good, he is a menace in the locker room.
Well, okay, on the other side.
It's not a surprise, by the way. They got rid of Michael Crab. They got rid of Richard Sherman and Michael Bennett.
And, by the way, Earl Thomas is next to go. Could be. Why they're breaking this thing up in Seattle?
Well, these guys are getting to be very expensive, and they're also...
That was a tease.
I think it also tells you, by the way...
That was what we called a tease.
Oh, was that a tease?
Yeah. Why are they breaking it up in Seattle when we come back here on ESPN?
And Rockets.
97.5.
Now, let me tell you about Men's Tee Clinic.
Oh, yeah, and Rockets.
And Rockets. Men's Tee Clinic has an opportunity for you to get checked out right now. Well, not technically right now, but at 8 o'clock. It starts, and they're open until 5, and then they're open on Saturdays as well, different times at different locations. And there's three locations in Houston, but we'll get to it. And Men's Tee Clinic basically will check your testosterone level, and if it's dropped below the level it's supposed to be, they can get you back up to where it should be. Now, here's the great thing. You could be just cruising along, and your testosterone's a little lower than it was when you were younger, but you're over the line, so you can't get treated because they're not going to treat you if you don't need treatment. If you dip below, they can get you back up there pretty good, and it's completely safe. And before you know it, man, your workouts are really making a difference. Your body type is starting to change. You're starting to lean down, lose weight. I promise you, the energy level spike is significant. It's not like a caffeine or something. It's just an overall well-being where you're just not constantly fatigued. And it helps with mental acuity. There are so many benefits. It can help with libido. There are so many benefits from testosterone, and that's why insurance companies typically pay for these treatments, because it is a big-time quality of life issue if your testosterone dips low, and in one out of three men, 40 or over, it is going to happen. So if you're worried that you might be one of those, hey, go get it checked out. They've got a location in Cypress at 290 in Barker Cypress, at Discovery Band 288 in Pearland, and at I-10 in Durham, right there in the Heights location. It's menstclinic.com.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
About you.
Crabtree, don't you open your mouth about the best. Or I'm going to set it for you real quick. L.O.B.
All right, before... And Joe, back over to you. All right,
well, we saw... What? She got caught off guard.
Who is talking about you?
Who is this that's talking about you?
Is it Troy?
Was someone in the stands talking about you and your family?
What?
Okay, so dude.
Sorry, receiver like Crabtree. That didn't sound Texas.
No, everybody hates Crabtree.
That didn't seem Texas.
Everybody, Crabtree must talk on the field.
He must talk a lot because he got his chain snatched two years in a row by Aqib Talib.
Well, Aqib Talib will probably snatch his chain anyway. he's got that.
He's got things.
So let me ask you a question, though. Dude has been in that system, right?
Which is a
zone system.
It's a covered three or a pressing trail where they bump them and they play underneath.
Yes.
He wouldn't even get
off the left side.
Yeah, no, it's a system. Like Texans, that's not what Texans
I mean,
do.
How is he going to adapt to a place where, okay, you go, okay, you're the best corner in the game, go cover the best guy every play.
Yeah, it's not, well, he has athletic limitations.
And do it a man-to-man.
That's what I'm saying. For draft people, Richard Sherman is always the outlier that everyone uses to justify slower, tall cornerbacks. And like, hey, Richard Sherman, like, okay. But you can't just always say everyone's going to be an outlier. Like, that's rare. Like, Nolan Ryan, pitch till he was 47. Or whatever. Like, okay, I don't think that's the norm, though. But you can keep saying that somebody's going to justify signing a 39-year-old.
Not everybody's Daryl Green.
Exactly. You know, so... I don't know. I think that Rich Sherman won't be a Texan, and whoever's going to pay for him is going to have to pay a lot of money.
I think he's going to. There's going to be a rude awakening on that too.
He may not, because if he's considered a pain in the ass in the locker room, or so,
well, and isn't he?
Well, it's not. Yes, he is. It's actually not even a secret. He's one of the ones that kind of said went after Russell Wilson.
Yeah,
how defensive. You know, you go after the franchise quarterback, that's a problem. Percy Harvin, I'll tell you a story about Percy Harvin. I heard this from a team exec who said he remembers it, we were talking about whether or not, you know, who you can draft when you know they have issues and what works and what doesn't. He said, I'll never forget, our general manager wanted to he goes, hey man, you just killed Percy Harvin on your write up. This is when this guy was a scout. He goes, yeah, a lot of problems. He goes, can we massage this a little bit? So, you know, I'd like to draft him. He goes, well, you're the GM. You can draft him if you want. I'm not putting my stamp on him. He's your pick. I'm not going to put my name on this guy. He goes, tell me again what the big problem is. He goes, well, I went to practices with Percy Harvin, who was at Florida. He said he had three people he would listen to. One was an equipment guy, one was a strength coach, and one, I think, was a position coach. He goes, I once saw him take his helmet off and throw it at Urban Meyer and MF him on the field. He goes, that happened. He goes, he threw his helmet there, and I saw him MF him. I was in three times. All three times he said that and told him, get your bitch ass off the field, to his own head coach. He said, so... I'm just telling you, I'm not stamping that. He goes, all right. The GM goes, okay.
Okay, I get it.
I guess he's going to throw a helmet. And then he beat up Golden Tate. Golden Tate had a black eye. I actually broke that story. He punched Golden Tate in the face And it was, they tried to keep it secret. And then if you, I was told, hey, you can release this if you want. This is good information. I looked into it. I'm like, holy crap. So I put it on Twitter. And then somebody got a Super Bowl team picture, which I didn't even know was out there. Golden Tate, big black eye. And then soon after when that stuff came out, Golden Tate's like, he just did a Kermit drinking tea. And everyone goes, ooh, that is real. And then the story came out that he was getting ready to fight someone else, and then Russell Wilson kind of jumped in trying to be a team leader, and he told Russell he was about to get beat up, and they're like, all right, that's can't it. Be having people beat up Russell Wilson.
No.
You're out.
Anybody can get beat up. So, and part of the thing, you know, how I don't know if it has anything to do with it, but how woke that team was and how boisterous that team was, how they didn't mind criticizing Pete Carroll, you know, that play. The whole thing seemed to have fallen apart with that one play that Malcolm Butler intercepted. The whole thing in Seattle fell apart.
When you have a bunch of alphas in the room, and Michael Bennett is, and Richard Sherman is, and Cam Chancellor is, and I don't know that Earl Thomas is, but I think it probably gets a little bit overwhelming. You got one side of the ball that doesn't always do its job, which is the offense. You got a defense that they've been leaning on for a long time.
Yeah, but it was fine when they were when everything was, oh, we're Legion of Boom, we're all together, everybody's and we love
you
each
have
other,
some adversity,
and we're all this, and but when the adversity
when
came,
the adversity hits, you find out a lot about guys when the adversity hits, and I think they're just saying, look, we're just not number one, it's getting too expensive. Number two, I think they don't want divisive people in the locker room, and that's what happens, and so that's why you had to go. That's look at your Seattle Seahawks. We'll be talking about. The Rockets today as well, as they made it 37 in a row. 37.
No, it's not 37. It's right there, but it's not 37. It's actually 37 in a row would be an American record for a professional team. 36 in a row, I think, is an American record for most consecutive wins. And they're at 17 right now. I don't see... Okay, this is going to be the toughest test tomorrow night.
Yes.
At Toronto. I watched the end of that game against
this
Detroit.
This is a tricky stretch. I don't want to undersell this. The Rockets.
Oh my God!
To win in Boston and then go
here was the Boston one.
Oh, Boston was here.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. I was on the road, so Boston was here. But you won at Oak City, although they're not playing great. But you're still at Oak City.
Nine of the 12 games are on the road in this stretch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something crazy. Was three straight games on the road. That's right. Oak City. You had yesterday at Milwaukee, and Milwaukee might be the longest team I've ever seen. Arm length and just size. And then now you got to take on Toronto. The third of the three straight is probably where they could get tripped up. But I tell you, Milwaukee played like the Rockets. You can tell the Rockets have a target on their back now, because I thought Milwaukee's effort level was a million times higher than Oklahoma City. Just like they just wanted to go somewhere and get waffles. They didn't care. By the fourth quarter, like, whatever, we can't come back. We're sorry. Like,
are you
okay,
sure waffles.
Milwaukee is down double digits, and they're scrapping and coming back and making runs and defending. Like, Milwaukee was a real team.
Yeah,
they really tried. The care factor from the Oklahoma City Thunder, I thought, was terrible. They just opened up a can of quit.
Well, I can tell. I liked it that they went overtime yesterday against Detroit. Did Toronto? Their care factor is really there, and this is a big. This will be the biggest game of the year for Toronto, even though it is the West.
They have a two game at least. Maybe a 2.5-game lead on Boston now.
The two best teams in basketball right now.
Right now.
Why do you?
Well not really, but the best in the East and best in the West.
Why? I know the Rockets at this point are considered a legitimate contender. Why do you think Toronto, and I guess most people's eyes aren't that yet?
Because we have a history. And you know what? A lot of people were hesitant about this Rockets team as well. Now, Chris Paul is different than the other iterations of the Rockets, and this is a different team. But Toronto, we've seen them in the postseason. Well, they're Toronto, and they play great in a regular season.
Who's Toronto's
best player?
And
then
when
player? They get this, the Trash Brothers, okay. then the Trash Brothers step up, and they can't do anything, and they get beat in the postseason. Well, they get beat in the second round
every
year.
They have one Eastern Conference Finals appearance, but then LeBron. But there's always LeBron, so that's been their bugaboo most of the time. But yeah, I was just thinking, as watching the Rockets and then watching Toronto last night, DeMar DeRozan's playing his best basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have that reputation to being the Trash Brothers in the playoffs. They all, for some reason, they'll disappear twice a series, both of them, sometimes in the same game. But Toronto has gone through the process of getting better, and DeMar is at his best, much like James is at his best. I think the Rockets are considered legitimate. Toronto's like, There's still LeBron waiting for you. Maybe even Boston. We're not so sure about
that. I think it's some of it. The other is.
I'm going to tell you this. Toronto's the best team in the East.
They can score.
We're going to find out. But Boston's not doing anything, and Cleveland's not doing anything to take it off of Toronto. I mean, Toronto is number one. But here's the thing with – here's why. Number one, they're the Raptors. And Toronto has always been kind of out of sight, out of mind. Yep. It just is. It's in Canada, and it's just been the case. When your best player is DeMar DeRozan, you know, who's averaging 19 points a game for his career, he's not a star. He just started shooting threes. He used to just not even, you know, look at the three. So he's not going to be a sexy three-point shooter. I'm looking at MVP voting. So he got 11th. He was 11th in 16-17. No, that's award shares. I'm sorry. I'll see where he's finished in voting, because James has been in top three. This will be 3 of 4 years. So you have a real star. Chris Paul, you have a real star. Kyle Lowry's not a star. DeMar DeRozan is not a superstar. I think he's a – I don't even know if I want to call him star. That feels a little – he was an all-star.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's a star necessarily.
No, I don't think he's a star either.
But that doesn't matter. That doesn't mean that team can't be great and that team can't win. I'm just saying that's probably why they don't get mentioned. But when you don't get mentioned like that, you have no – you just sit there and just roll under the radar. You just roll under the radar, and I think sometimes that's advantageous. No. This is, I mean, the Rockets are going to have a big target on their back. This is going to be an anticipated
matchup. This is the game. This game tomorrow night is the game of in this streak that is the by far the most difficult.
We have
going to Toronto,
Monday,
who has the best home record and the way that they're playing and what they have to play for. I think they've got a lot to prove, and they got a chip on their shoulder just like the Rockets do.
Well, you know, Kyle's scrappy as hell, and DeMar got a little bleep you in him as mm-hmm. well. So
yep.
It could get a little scrappy, yeah.
Yeah, this is a great stretch. Wow, man. To be doing this at Denver, at Utah, at the Clippers, at Oklahoma City, at Milwaukee, and now you got at Toronto, at Dallas, and and down the road, New Orleans, who that's the last place that you lost. I mean, this is at Cleveland, at Brooklyn. This stretch has been at Miami. Nobody wins like this with as many road games as they have. This is unbelievable what this team is doing.
It really is. 17 straight, and I was telling my kids about the 22 game Wednesday. They were like, they won 22 with
Yao.
They said, well, they showed a picture of.
Well, Yao got hurt in the middle of it, right?
Yeah, they got hurt in the middle of it. They showed a picture of Steven Novak. Like, Steven Novak, man, he was a great guy, a great Rocket, like, easy bull. Let's stop calling him a great Rocket. But he was a Rocket.
He was a Rocket.
He was on that team. He goes, he was on that team with 22 straight. And my son goes, they won 22 in a row before? Who is that? I never even heard of that guy. I'm like, that's right, son.
No, you won't.
I said he played with T-Mac and Yao for a little bit until Jeff Van Gundy realized how super soft he was and he had to get him out of there. Yao got hurt. So it was T-Mac and like Chuck Hayes and just a bunch of people you're not going to know. John Perry. Like, these guys aren't on your
NBA. Was White Boy Super Squad on that?
Super Squad was 06. It was the White Boy Super Squad dealt with Scott Padgett and Ryan Bowen and Bobby Sura and John Barry. John Barry. It used to be called White Boy Power Squad.
That's probably a bad idea.
And then Padgett.
Whose wife
is African-American. Padgett goes, yeah, I don't like anything that says white and power in the same thing. Like, okay, we'll call it White Boy Super Squad. And we had, remember, somebody made...
T-shirts.
No, it was wind jackets.
Oh, yeah, right.
Like, wind jackets were made, and we gave them to those guys, and they loved it. Bobby Sura was like, I don't feel like I'm white necessarily. You see my dunks? I'm like, hey, Bobby.
No.
Bobby.
He was the original. Well, not the original white chocolate, but
I said,
he was.
Bobby,
he
was, if you go to Freaknik, and I always use that.
He was white milk chocolate kind of.
Bobby Sura could dunk.
Oh yeah,
he was in a dunk contest in college that I watched. He played with Sam.
Speaking
Cassell,
of poker, Bobby Sura can poker too. By the way,
oh yeah,
he can poker.
Oh, he's known for games.
And Craig DeSurf is known for.
He's known for quickly. An agent says. He's listening. He says, Richard Sherman, who could never run to begin with and coming off a torn Achilles, will get a one-year deal for $4 to $7 million, I bet.
Yep.
He goes, John is right. He's in for a rude awakening.
Yep, he really is.
You're in for a rude awakening if you are looking for a car and you go to a dealership that doesn't have your best interests in mind. And a lot of times, and I'm telling you this, and I know you're thinking I'm just saying this, but Craig DeSurf has taken care of so many listeners over the years for me. And even when I wasn't speaking for him, and people ask, hey, I want to get this kind of vehicle. I want this. I said, I went to this place and this place. I said, have you checked with DeSurf? Because here's the thing with Craig DeSurf. It's him, but it's he brought his whole staff over from another location where he used to be. The Killer D's, Rick Drenner and the DeLuna brothers and Craig DeSurf, they're out there just making deals for you, and that includes aggressive trading prices for your car, leases or sales, whatever is best for you. They'll even tell you when they have great programs going, which means this is when it's optimal to get a lease. And if it's not optimal, they'll let you know, hey, this is not an optimal time to get a lease. This is not a great program. Why don't you wait a couple months? We'll see if we have something better. It's that kind of honesty that sets them apart. And not only that, but they've got great pickup trucks and SUVs. A Chevy Suburban, are you kidding me? The Yukon or Yukon Extended Body, the GMC Sierra pickup truck or the Chevy Silverado, the Buick Enclave. There's so many great crossovers and cars and pickup trucks and SUVs waiting for you. Go to the website, LanceZCars.com, and take a look at the inventory and what the MSRP price is right now. You'll find the color, the selection, the interiors, everything that you're looking for, but you'll find it with people out in Angleton who are there to take care of you because it is a family atmosphere. And this Saturday, awesome car show going on from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Well, they have food for you and some amazing cars where people are trying to win prizes at the car show. Get out to Angleton and check it out for yourself. For more information, go to Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.com.
This is Jose Altuve, All-Star and MVP. If you need a new vehicle, get down to Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. Chevy, find new roads.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 713-780-3776. Anything that you guys want to talk about, you are more than welcome to get in here to hang out with us. The big story this morning nationally is Darius Geis, and apparently some team or teams asked him if he liked men. Just a couple of years ago, what was it, 13 or 14, the NFL came out with an edict that says you cannot, this is like more or less a job interview, and you can't ask a prospective applicant about his sexual orientation. You just can't do it. Now, there are a couple of reasons why they might do it. First of all, I guess they want to find out whether or not he's gay. I guess. I don't know. But I think that's probably the least likely, that they want to find out whether or not he's gay. I think you might want to find out what, more than that, I think they would want to find out what his reaction to that question is.
It might be. It's hard to say.
Well, it is hard to say. I don't know. You know, in this day and age, you know, I guess teams are more aware. I guess they are. But to still be asking that question in 2018 is really stupid. But here's what they might want to know. You know, if you're offended by that question, if that offends you, then maybe you are a guy who is more woke. You are more socially conscious. You are more likely to be someone who will be an advocate of some kind of issue.
Potentially non-conforming.
Potentially non-conforming. I guess you could put it that way. All of those things they want to find out. Or if you're just a guy that won't overreact or overreact to a tough situation. I guess that, you know, I think psychologically they do all kinds of stuff to guys to find out. They say that the combine, and you know as well as anybody, that it is a 3 or 4 day just nonstop. You know, when they pick you up at the airport, it's not a guy that's just driving you. It's a guy that wants to find things out about you.
It is a grind. What you don't realize, and this is one of the reasons why Reuben Foster lost his cool, is they stay up super late at night. It's super late. Like, they're up doing interviews at 11:30. They go to sleep. They wake up at 6 o'clock. I mean, it's similar to being a radio host, probably. You stay up later than you should. You wake up earlier than you're used to waking up. And then you have to go and provide excellence for people who are listening on the radio. That's us.
Which is what we do.
It's not. I'm sorry. To them. But it is designed to mentally test you and physically test you. You have 30, generally speaking, 32 team doctors will check the same stuff over and over on you. It is a meat grinder. Then you have mental tests. You have psychological tests. It depends on how many formal interviews. One guy I talked to had 20 formal interviews, which is a ton. Those take a lot longer. You have informal interviews, which means a lot of the teams are giving you informal interviews as well. And then you have to perform your drills. So you have weigh-in and medicals, which take up all your day. You have psychologicals and interviews, which are over a 2-day span, and then you have to go perform on the field. And it is meant to physically and mentally test you. That's why one of the reasons some of those guys don't perform well at combine, not to make an excuse, but some guys will perform much better at pro day because they're just not – they're not at 100%. It's not an optimal condition.
Well, not only that, but you get to regulate. You get to dictate.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times it's the strength coach that's saying, okay, now we're going to do this. We're going to do this. Now we're going to throw pass. The offensive coordinator will have the pass routes all set up.
You may have
it out. Whereas everything is planned by the NFL and not you.
But it can also be how you eat, when you sleep. It can be a lot. You're not traveling. You're not being asked questions. There is no mental. You're just relaxing.
Hungry,
listening to
music. Tired. And how do you react?
You can control that in pro days.
But the question is, now somebody has suggested that whatever team it was that asked Darius Geis this question, that they'd be kicked out of the combine next year.
The team the player?
The team. The team be kicked out. No, it's not going to happen.
It's never happened.
No, it's not going to happen. But it is this. It is stupid in 2018. It's a stupid question. I know you're omnipotent NFL, omnipotent. I know that you think that you can just do whatever you want. You own these players. But dude, you have to actually conform to federal regulations. And one of the federal regulations is you can't ask about a person's sexual orientation.
Hey, conformers, conform. NFL. You want conforming? Then conform.
But that's what the NFL.
No, it's true. That's a law.
Yeah.
You can't. So I am curious. I think a lot of it is probably more they want to know if he's gay. It's not going to be tricky. Yeah, I think some of it, and it might be because.
Do you honestly believe that a guy sitting there in front of NFL, that would he say, I'm gay? Are you kidding?
Darius Geis is like, well, I'm kind of fluid. Yeah. I'm on a spectrum here. I'm not on the high end of gay, but I'm about a six.
Okay, I'm kind of.
About it. If he had answered that as a joke, just said, I don't know, I'm like a five or six.
On the spectrum.
I'm still interested. I guess do
I like men? Yeah. I mean, what do you mean?
I mean, I
like him.
What if he said something like, I think Future's handsome.
I'm a fan of Young Thug. I like when he wears a dress.
Okay. That's going to elicit
responses. Yeah, no, then you're undraftable.
You know, I don't know. I don't know because the athlete is typically would be closeted anyway, is not going to tell you for fear of it hurting his draft. So I don't know. You're right. I don't know why they would necessarily.
I think they want to find out your reaction.
Maybe so because if they want to find out if a player's gay, if they really want to know, they'll go digging in the background with other people at the program.
Well, let me ask you a question: what are NFL teams today saying about Darius Geis because he outed them for asking that question?
Ironically he outed them.
that's right.
What are they saying?
What are they saying? Are they saying, wow, we can't trust Darius Geis?
But he didn't out the teams, though.
But he outed the fact that he was asked this question.
He was smart. He didn't snitch on any teams.
No.
I tried to put him on my mock draft. I like him as a running back. His testing scores weren't that great. Like, he ran okay. The rest of the stuff was...
Late second, third?
I think he's second. I think he's a good back, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's a good back,
too.
He was
much better in 16 when he wasn't hurt.
Yeah. I know. I watched just about every game.
Yeah, you saw him in 16, wouldn't you?
There
was thoughts he might be better than Fournette.
Yep, yeah, right. And whenever LeBron is hurt, it's okay. Look, they won a game. Oh, maybe they're better off. No, they were better off with Leonard Fournette. 745 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Let's take a break. 713-780-3776, whatever you want to talk about. Come on.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 749, ESPN 97.5. John and Lance and Dell. I can tell you guys this. Our signal is awesome. And a lot of people say, I was out yesterday and a guy told me, "Hey, when are you going to fix the squirrels and fix the signal?" Okay? Because when I'm on the west side, I'm like, "Dude, we have an awesome signal." I was in Beaumont yesterday in Sour Lake and we come in crystal clear. I can tell you that. Okay, it's not a matter of the signal. It's how far the signal can travel, because otherwise you're stepping on someone else.
What were you doing in Beaumont yesterday?
Blaine's visitation.
Oh, okay.
Blaine Padgett.
Is that that's where you're going today, right?
Yeah, the funeral is today.
Is it out in Beaumont?
It's, yeah.
Okay.
And I'm old.
Clearly.
I have been to a lot of funerals and visitation. I have never ever seen as many people. They couldn't have it at the funeral home. They had to have it at the church because the wait to get in was hours to get in just to walk by the casket. It was unbelievable. And it's unbelievable how his parents are, how they're doing, how they're holding up. They said at the house every day, there's 100 to 150 people there. And they, you know, nobody. It's just the outpouring in that community. It's a smaller community, Sour Lake. So I mean, the whole town was there. The entire town was there, and everybody who ever played with Blaine or knows the parents. I mean, it can't be a nicer family. It's just such a horrific thing to lose a child. You should never bury. I mean, everybody says it, but I've seen, you know, the Washington State quarterback. And we've seen so many. You see in the news, you know, he committed suicide. Mm-hmm. And you see in the news so many young players die and all this stuff. And it's like, oh, that's terrible and you should never. But when it is this close to you, it is as horrific a thing as you can ever imagine. So that's today, and it's going to be an awfully difficult thing. And I was just thinking about him during. Actually, my son is going to speak at it today. So,
oh, is he?
Yeah. And so I'm jotting down a few things for him.
It's just an unnatural thing.
Oh, it's the most. Ugh. There's no playbook for this. When I was there on Friday night, last Friday when it happened, and I was there when they took him out, and when the parents got to the house.
You were there?
I was there.
Man.
And it there's just nothing to say. There's nothing. There's no playbook for this. None. You have no. There is no way to know exactly, but it was amazing. I mean, all the people that were there, and every single one. I told his mom Wendy. I said, "You're going to set the record for hugs today because it is every single person, and they wanted to hold on as long as they possibly could to the parents and the sisters, and it's just the outpouring is just tremendous. It's unbelievable. It was unbelievable. I've never seen, and I've seen a lot of funerals, and wait, this was unbelievable. How big this was." And it is going to be the same way today. So it's just a tough day for anyone that knew Blaine. All right, 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5, come hang out with us. Rockets, 17th straight, and tomorrow night they have Toronto in their sight. And that's going to – I'm going to tell you this. I'm amazed that they're able to get – see, Milwaukee's a good basketball team. And Utah and all of these teams and Oklahoma City, I mean, they're good basketball teams. And for them to just be rolling through, there's only been one game in this stretch that was a five-point game. That was less than 5 points.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
That's a factory of covers.
Yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. And I would imagine that the books have to – I wonder what. If there is a line out right now.
I mean,
now.
Doesn't that just speak to the gulf between we always talk about it. It's the top two in the West and then everybody else. And then, like, we'll see what Toronto is on Friday. But it speaks to the gulf between what the Rockets and the Warriors are and everyone else.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that the only team that played them close in their building was the second best team in the Eastern Conference.
Right. In their build. But, you know, you would think along the way here that one of these teams, be it a Clippers or a Utah or a Denver or somebody is going to step up that night, because everybody, if there's a team right now that has a target on its back,
yeah.
And now Golden State will forever because they've got all the stars, you know, and they've got the defending champs, because you're going to get up for that game. But right now, I would imagine everybody wants to take out the Rockets.
But this is why I believed in them earlier, because I believed that this team was different earlier, because I could see something I had never seen. Like, it was crystal clear. Number one, there is a lot more care on defense. And to me, rebounding and defense are the, and especially help side defenses, are the ultimate. They tell you whether or not you're intelligent.
But isn't that a lot to do with care? But isn't it a lot to do with PJ being here and Bamute being here?
Yeah, no. But I'm saying the team as an entity, they care more, they defend more. Yeah, that's Daryl for bringing those guys in. It's one of the reasons that I will always pump up Daryl Morey, because whatever you want to say, this guy has a long ass history of being able to wheel and deal to get superstars in, and then being able to maneuver pieces. Like, I can't tell you how hard that is. So many people get locked into salary cap stuff. I've seen it happen with Ryan Anderson, who is not killing them right now. I mean, he's not even playing. And he's got that contract
thank
piece.
Thank God for Ryan Anderson. Otherwise, you'd have Carmelo Plus Anthony. Months.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely.
Now, Daryl's gotten lucky in some of those respects.
Yeah, there's no question. And I was begging not for Carmelo. That was the most obvious thing I've ever seen. Don't add Carmelo Anthony. It's not going to help your team. But what he did do is, the team is as a whole, the Houston Rockets. This isn't James or whatever. If you watched yesterday, one of the most impressive things, did you see how often guys came weak side and collapsed on the ball? When Giannis was backing people in, all of a sudden, Bamute would come flying over, or Chris Paul would, or Eric freaking Gordon went through a stretch run of like a two-minute span where he made about three defensive plays. And I'm like, it used to just be, it'd be one-on-one, a guy would score and that would be it, and everyone would stay with their guys. And now there is a culture of defense on the team that is, it's just a given now that PJ Tucker, these guys are on the court. And that's why the move of PJ Tucker to starting lineup, I think, was very important. Even though you got Mr. Plus Minus just rolling people off the bench, Ryan Anderson, but PJ Tucker gives you more of a full-time defensive vibe. Like, it is now a culture of defense, and James is required to play defense. And I think James is requiring it of himself. But, you know, even when James did play better defense. Last year it was better. And then when he came back from the Olympics, it was definitely better. But this is the first time where he's really closing guys out. Like, there's really an effort to rotate to shooters. Before, it was like, hey, James isn't as terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, James is actually defending some guys. And while it might not be great, it is making it tougher for guys to score. They had a lineup that they went with. They had Capella out for a long time. And it was Bamute, PJ Tucker, and I guess that was the 5 and 4, technically, Trevor Ariza, Chris, and Eric Paul. I mean, and Eric Gordon. And I was like, this is a tiny lineup. I don't even know. And they were scrappy as hell. I was like, wow. But their ability to play help side defense, to get in the passing lanes, they can play tempo, which they did at one point yesterday. They started playing tempo. They've got multiple three-point shooters now. It's just... it is just a different, it's a much different look than we've seen in the past.
They're no longer what I used to call a dumb basketball team. They used to do dumb things.
They used to do really dumb things
at the worst times. Yeah. And unfortunately, James was part of that. He's no longer part of that.
There's not as many guys because
of Chris.
Yeah, and they're a smarter team, even defensively. They understand who they're playing against.
Yeah. Much smarter.
You don't need to help. Maybe you can help off this guy because Eric Bledsoe is not a consistent three-point shooter, so you can help. Or the problem I was watching Milwaukee, I kept thinking the Rockets are like a Ferrari, and Milwaukee's built more like an SUV. They're long, they're big, but there's not a lot of spacers on that team, and that fits a Rockets defense because the Rockets can help. And, okay, take that shot, Eric Bledsoe. We'll see if you make it, Jabari Parker. If you want to take an awkward 20-footer, go ahead. That's what the Rockets do a good job of. They put guys in unnatural shooting positions, like – that's not a spot you should be shooting that ball from on the floor, and it results in a miss, and the Rockets go the other way.
A lot of that is the scouting on the analytics team has when they get – so in the scouting reports, they have an analytics department that show every shooting percentage for every player, and they build actual game plans around how they want to get guys into their worst shooting positions, about how they're going to defend. Like, if you're really good in the corner, they have ways that they either closeouts or they'll defend.
Well, tell them, don't let that guy shoot from the corner.
Yeah, to get you out of there and to keep you in another spot. And it's not, you know, it's only going to work a certain amount of times, but that's where analytics really comes into play. Analytics is just like a heat map. You know when they're at their best and when they're at their worst. Let's see if we can get them in when they're at their worst, not only on defense, but also when they're on offense.
And then all Jeff Bezdelic?
Yeah, I would assume.
Dude, he's doing a great job.
I would watch tomorrow night because DeMar DeRozan is not an awkward player, but he's kind of a throwback in terms of where he shoots the basketball. He's more of a mid-range guy. You mentioned earlier he just started shooting threes. But he's a guy who doesn't mind taking a 17-footer and doesn't mind the floaters.
You're not used to seeing that.
He's not a three or layup guy. He's a guy who will take the mid-range. So it'll be interesting to see how that defense plays with the guy who is interested in getting to those what you might consider awkward spots and taking shots.
Yeah. All right, 7:59, ESPN 97.5. Nathan, we'll get you in on the other side. Let's talk some golf. Everybody wants to talk Tiger Woods, though. That's exactly what I told you.
That's one person. That's not everybody.
Everybody who wants to talk about golf, give us a call.
That's one guy.
713-780-3776. Right now, though, I want to talk about Absolute Marble and Granite. That's my man, Jeff Aronoff. Jeff Aronoff is ready for you to give him a call. He is excellent at what he does. He is growing. I'm telling you, that business is unbelievable right now. He's doing entire hotels, and he's doing entire businesses. Like I said before, he was the guy who put in that beautiful countertop, that bar at Damaris Barbecue right there on 610 and 290 right there on 18th Street. It's just unbelievable, and it is what Jeff Aronoff does every single day. And you're probably someone who does not have any idea of how to go about selecting. I don't know what's going to look good. Well, Jeff will help you with this. He sits down. He's got, you know, all of the books and everything. Here, look at this. Look at this countertop. Look at this vanity. Look at this tile. Look at this granite. Look at this whatever it is. And you look through it and you say, "Oh, I like that. That's a nice color. That'll fit perfectly. That's it." And makes it a hell of a lot easier for you. So let Jeff Aronoff do that for you and let him install all that stuff that you might need, and especially your businesses. And you've got countertops or you've got vanities that need replacing. Give him a call. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
Need a new restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler.